when believing something that's so hard-coded in the, like, you know, what God is, for instance, if everybody thinks that, oh, God's this guy on a throne up there, the reason that they can't manifest that is because it's being a higher level thing or something that's more hard-coded into the truth of the universe?
Well, that's a kind of a double-edged sword, because in some ways they do manifest their own truth. I mean, you've got people who go down the tunnel, and they'll see maybe Jesus at the end of the tunnel, or they'll see family members, okay? And then they go, well, that's proof that there's life after death. What I get a real hoot out of is that they're so culturally ignorant. I don't want to talk negative, but that I just hate it when they go, well, that's proof that this particular religion is the only one. And I'll go, well, what about, you know, in India, when they're talking about going down the tunnel and they're seeing Krishna at the end of the tunnel? What makes theirs less valid than yours? What about if they see Buddha at the end of the tunnel, or Milarepa, or some American chief Indian? Because these stories are true. They've been documented just as much, but not, you know, whatever the dominant belief system is what the vast majority of people use to interpret their experiences, as if there is something to that. As you know, I don't necessarily believe that they're brain dead when they're having these experiences. I think that their heart has stopped. I think physically, or, you know, their organs have stopped, but I do believe that electrically the brain is still running and then they're resuscitated. This is why in studies they can have these guys go under high G-force. And when they go under high G-force, they're seeing the tunnel effect. And they're saying, well, I've seen family, or there was these weird effects. Or you can wear these helmets that throw off magnetic rays that kind of distort how the brain works. And they're having all these unusual paranormal feelings or sensing people around them or whatever. Now, that doesn't mean it's not true. Maybe that's what's opening up other dimensions to them, and they're figuring that out, okay? Or whatever, you know, what may not, whatever. The point that I'm making is that in some ways I think they are creating their realities, okay? But I think that they're short-lived. I think that, and I hate to say this, because people don't want to have their bubble popped. They want to believe in certain things, and, you know, it gives them a comfort level. Well, I'm not interested necessarily in comfort. I'm interested in the truth. That's what I want, is the truth. And I believe that truth will be more beautiful than anything man can imagine. And I know that to be the truth. So having said that, I think that even if they do manifest that this is their way of their consciousness creating a departure scenario for them to separate better. I think if you were to see what happened after they would go there, perhaps it would fade away and then they merge into the guide consciousness without even knowing. It's like them going to very deep, happy, blissful sleep, but they're moving into this other consciousness. Or they will all of a sudden start to get that speed ramping of the conscious movement faster and faster, data expanding in their mind. And it's like waking out of a dream and you take you a few minutes to get your orientation to where you are after you've been sleeping. And your wits kind of come about you. Well, it's kind of very similar. If you're an older soul, when you pass on, and there's this moment of disarray because you're still hanging on to that limited consciousness of who you felt you always were in this life. Is everybody following me? So when you move over, instead of dissipating into this to the Gaia consciousness, more than likely, especially the people who are listening to this, are more likely older white cells, per se. What happens is you have this like flooding of awareness, and it's like you're coming out of this dream, or more so you're waking up like another awakening. This is why we say people are asleep. I refer to them, because when you wake, I mean, there's times when you're groggy and you kind of forget, where am I, or what am I doing, or what, you know, you might have slept over a friend's house and forgot that you were there, and it takes you some time to get your bearings, and then you're on top of your game. Well, somebody rushed in and said, hey, name, you know, 10 flavors of pizza pies or something. You're going to be, you know. But if somebody came in and did that to you, you know, when you're on your game, you're going to be like, oh, pepperoni, cheese pizza, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of the same effect, okay? So the master program that's out there is going to override. You know what I'm saying? You just have to trust it too, you know, and trust that you did the work in yourself that you can feel comfortable with that. I think that you can create hell in the same way, you know. But as I have explained before, I think a lot of these scenarios are still biologically in the brain. They just speed up so fast that time feels slow outside of you. I think that certain things, I mean, I hate it when people bunch all of these things into just one paranormal, you know, bucket and go, well, it's all about the death experience. No, a lot of death is still not really physical death. A lot of it, most of it, it's still your brain working with you as your body shut down. And it's saying, well, the body's shut down. We're dying. What is your expectation for dying? It's more or less asking. You're like, well, I'm a Christian, or I'm a Buddhist, or I'm an American Indian. And so you see an eagle if you're American Indian, and all of a sudden you see the sky, and maybe you're doing a dance with some snakes around you that you don't think are poisonous. They're a positive thing, you know. You're going to see, if you look at all these cultures, whatever the people were exposed to, this is more or less what the brain is going to help them interpret to get through the comfort level of leaving your body. There's an interesting story. When a human being in Africa, I remember reading once where a man was attacked by a lion and he lived through it. He says at first there's the shock, and then there's this feeling of that you know you're going to die, and then there's some other part of you that all of a sudden you just don't feel any pain. You kind of know you're this rag doll. You're being tossed around, but there's no more awareness of the suffering. There's a very peaceful, blissful point that you feel. Now, I would say one, your body's probably releasing so many endorphins that it's probably more intense than heroin. Okay, and that's more than likely the situation. On the same token, the body, as I said before, is helping you cope with the trauma. It doesn't have to. Why does it do that? Why doesn't it just let you suffer to the last bitter minute? There's a reason for it. It's the same reason that when you're dying, that the brain, if you're not going under, if you're not being shaking around in the lion's mouth, and you're laying in bed, but you're still conscious and not sleeping, okay, you're going to go into the scenario, per se, of whatever you feel your guilt or your shame is, or your positivity, or if you're looking forward to meeting God or Jesus or your family or Buddha or Krishna or whoever. That's what it's going to help you with. It's going to show you those things in order to create this level of feeling what you need to feel in order to accept or find comfort in what you're doing. And it's going to be blissful and it's going to be wonderful. Unless you really think you're going to hell for something you did, then you're going to create this really negative scenario. I remember this one story I read. I don't know if it was in Omni magazine or somewhere, but this guy was saying, well, I went to hell. And they well, what was hell? He says, well, it wasn't like fiery or anything, but he says, I knew it was hell. And they were like, well, how? He's like, well, I was floating above the planet. And when I was floating above the planet, I thought, oh, wow. But then I was handed this puzzle. And I intuitively knew that if I finished the puzzle, then I could move on. And I go, well, what's the problem? He says, the pieces never quite fit. And I knew, I had a sense of feeling this dread for eternity, this frustration, this anxiety to put it together. But he says, in this moment, I also felt that it should be possible. Like my logic said, no, it'll work. And it never gave up. So here you have this dread of it not working and you want to escape this place. And this dread of also knowing that you're going to be there forever. And it was like this inner looping kind of feeling that just never ended. It was like a snake biting its own tail. And he says, of course, then he was resuscitated and brought back. Well, this is something he perceived. This was his fear or what he projected. And this is what I believe is brain. So if you check, if you look at this and you ask how many people, this is what they never talk about. They always say these people are clinically dead. But can they say that they had no brain anything going on? Do you see what I'm saying? And the vast majority of them, they'll still be brain activity. And as I've taught before, you do not leave until all the energy is shut off. It's like two magnets being sucked together. Your soul or your consciousness resides in the organic body, like being electrically weaved together. And when it shuts down, that's only when it releases. Well, if it's not shut down 100%, it's still locking you there. I think it's extremely difficult to really have true clinical death, okay, and go out. They say these people who have been frozen that are resuscitated, well, if you look at it, their body temperature, I was just reading, they says, well, this person was frozen for 20 minutes or this baby was frozen for a certain amount of time or whatever. But the interesting thing that they mentioned, they don't mention that they were clinically proven brain dead, because that's what you want to look at, okay? What I notice they say is, well, their body temperature was 68 degrees. Well, yeah, 98.6 is natural, but 68 degrees isn't necessarily frozen, in my opinion, either. Okay, it means that electrically the brain still could be functioning while all the organs are shut down. So now I'm reading in Science that they've come up now with some form of, I think it's hydrochloride, that can be put into the body system, and they're taking mice, mammals now, and kind of converting him into cold-blooded reptilian style that actually will go into stasis. In other words, hibernation, where all the cells just shut down. And they figured out now how to do that. Now they're looking at it for NASA and stuff like this. Or people who are going to die, they just need a couple more hours to get an organ flown out. They're going to use this now to shut the body off into stasis, okay, until they can get the body part in. And this will give them the extra few hours. Well, they're thinking maybe they can turn it into weeks, months, maybe even years. I'm sure they will. Okay, so they found a way to take a man lore or basically human beings, and they're saying there's no reason why it shouldn't be able to be applied, and be able to put us now into a form of hibernation where literally all your cells are almost not functioning at all. And they says with cancer, it's great because they can then shut the body down and the cancer can't really root either because it's a part of this process. So you shut down everything, including that. So there's a lot of applications to it. But the point is it brain dead? Is there still electricity more or less moving through the currents of your brain? And what is it doing? What is it thinking? What is it relaying? What will that person come back with when they snap out of it?